On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, perfect. Just as we get going on the show, I'm checking Twitter, make sure we didn't miss anything, see what's going on score-wise around the league, and what do I have? A video of Jack Eichel cranking the siren at the Vegas Golden Knights game. It's hurting. Mike, it's hurting. It's hurting a lot more than I thought it was going to.
Did you see the red carpet they rolled out for that guy when he showed up? That was amazing, man. They had like a full band, and
yeah,
you know, they had like a night out there. They had their mascot, and
yeah,
like that was a lot for somebody who hasn't played a game in how long.
they were just short of like having Shania Twain like meet him at the red carpet,
basically
from the full experience. Yeah. Have we talked since the Eichel trade? I'm losing count of the days of when that even happened.
We haven't talked on this channel. Actually.
We've talked separately. Yeah,
we talked separately. I remember I asked you just to get your thoughts, just a kind of a grade on it, and you said you thought the Sabres did decent. They got a, what'd you say, a B minus?
B. I think I give them a B. Like they did fine. They did about as well as I thought they would at this stage in the game. They got a team's best prospect, and they got other stuff. Like that's about as well as I thought they were going to do. I didn't think it was going to hurt this much to see him in another jersey, because him, not even in another jersey, but just with the logos behind him, because you know, eventually, hopefully for the Sabres and their fans, this will turn into thinking about the prospects they got and Tuck being on the ice. But for now, it's just reminiscing and reflecting on 6 years and all of the what ifs of, well, if this went differently, he'd still be a Sabre. And if this went differently, he'd still be a Sabre. And there's a billion of those. So we're just reminiscing and stewing in that.
Well, let me ask you this question. Okay. Yeah. As somebody who's been like a lifelong Sabre fan, you've been through, you know, the peaks and valleys of being a Sabres fan. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jack Eichel brought a little bit of hope to this team once upon a time, where that was the start of a rebuild. I think, you know, Reinhardt was another kind of piece of that puzzle. You know, do you see this team actually doing something with the pieces that they have right now? Like, do they have enough guys who can formulate a team that could become, you know, a playoff contenders on a yearly basis? Or is this still just kind of they're throwing poop at the wall and hoping that something sticks? Hopefully Krebs turns out to be something. Cousins turns out to be as good and turns out to be a good player. You know, like what's the situation and the future looking like in Buffalo?
I like that they're kind of playing the probabilities game. You know, before, when really they were just trying to build around Eichel and Reinhardt, they had no one on the way up. It was like they had one good defenseman prospect in Brendan Gooley, for example. And it's like, all right, well, he could be really good. He's playing great in the minors, but here's the problem. Brendan Gooley doesn't turn out to be an NHL defenseman. You've got no one else coming up in the system. And there were other examples of that for the Sabres at forward and in net. This time around, it's like, all right, we're just tearing everything down. We're going to have so many high-level prospects, or at least, you know, not quite elite-level prospects, but quality prospects, that if we've got a dozen of them, half are good to turn out, or right to turn out. And like, yeah, and of the forward group, for example, they've got a bunch of those guys. Krebs is now added into the mix. Cousins is in that group. JJ Paterka is in that group. Jack Quinn, like, you've got five or six really good forward prospects. Like, are three going to turn out to be legitimate impact players? To me, that's kind of where I think they've progressed in that way. So what does that mean? They're not going to have the superstar, though. I don't see anybody with Eichel potential. So
yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, like, hey, maybe they're the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I kind of
lost Paris.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't know if I also see a Matt Barzal there either.
No, that's right. Krebs, maybe. Krebs reminds me of him as a player, but that is like, if everything goes perfect with his development, he's Barzal. He's probably a lot more likely to slot in below that.
You know what's funny? I asked Craig Button. We had him on Leafs Lunch the day that the trade went down, so it must have been, what, Thursday, I guess. He does a weekly hit with us. And I asked him, you know, what's the player comparable to Peyton Krebs for those who aren't familiar? And he said Ryan O'Reilly light. And I thought
really?
That's hilarious that wow. That's his player comp. That's what he thinks, that he could be kind of a Ryan O'Reilly light. And it's interesting how now he's in Buffalo a couple of years after they trade away the Ryan O'Reilly.
That's one of those what ifs, by the way. If they'd done better in the O'Reilly trade, maybe Eichel would still be here. Anyways, that's enough of the Sabres. You can get plenty more of that at Locked On Sabres. It's the Locked On NHL podcast, Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. We've got our power ranks coming out on Wednesday. So we kind of wanted to look at last week's rankings and kind of project where there's going to be some risers and where there's going to be some fallers. I got a question for Mike about Alex Ovechkin as well. But before we get all the way away from the Sabres, this is a big deal. I'm not sure how many other teams this is a big deal for. But like Mike, I know that the border is opening here in Western New York to Canada for Canadian visitors. So I've been able to travel to Canada. I've done it already. But now Canadian citizens can come across the border to the US. They need to be vaccinated and they need proof of a negative COVID test going back over the Canadian border. And for those that look at attendance figures, I know NHL Watcher, who's a pretty popular Twitter handle and on hockey Twitter, they posted earlier the average attendance for all teams in the league. And there is the Sabres dead last at 7,800. And yes, a lot of that is how bad they are, but a big chunk of it is they lost. I think the number that I have in my head is 28%. 28% of the Sabres season ticket base is in Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
And like that's been at zero all season. So I think it's good for the Sabres. I'm sure there's some other teams that are close to the border that it'll be good for as well. I don't know. Like, I know the Sabres play the Leafs on Saturday. I'm expecting that building to be 85% Leaf fans.
Well, it's funny because up until, I guess, this week, I'm sure Buffalonians were like, yeah, for once, we'll have a home game in Buffalo with the Leafs. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, the border's opening up a few days before.
Yeah.
Damn. And I know a few people who are looking to grab some tickets to head over there and head over to the game. And it's funny. I personally, growing up in Niagara Falls, like I know a handful of people who grew up as Sabres season ticket holders who, had to give up their tickets last year and this year. And it'll be interesting to see if they end up going back, I guess, now that the borders are opened up. I don't know if they just like got, if they got like their money back for the games that they couldn't go to, or if they had to buy into the whole season, or how exactly that worked out. I guess I would have to ask a couple of my buddies who are in that situation, but I know for a fact that this should be a lot better for the Pegulas, because I think that they're finally going to get some people heading into the building. Also Detroit, probably with the bordering Windsor. I know that there's a lot of Red Wings fans in Windsor and in Western Southern Ontario, kind of the London area as well. So I'm sure there's a couple of cities that'll be happy that their buildings will start to get filled again.
Yep. So that's going to be happening around the league.
Vancouver,
that's one.
Seattle, the Seattle Kraken.
Yes.
Once that battle gets brewing, you could have some people from Vancouver filtering down to Seattle.
Yeah. Cross down. I know Canadians fans travel really well. I'm not sure they're going to travel well this year because the team's not that good. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about them later. In fact, we'll maybe talk about them in a second here because they're going to be a part of kind of the news segment to kind of lead things off here. That was a part of it. Canadian fans can now cross the border. Canadian citizens cross the border if you're looking to go to hockey games in the U.S. We found out from Instagram on Tuesday afternoon, Carey Price posting that he had checked into a residential treatment facility in the last month to treat substance abuse. And he is now back with the Canadiens. So he's asking for those to continue to respect his privacy. But good for him that he seems to be in a good enough mental space to where he can even be back, you know, playing and thinking about hockey with the team.
Oh, absolutely. And I have the post here. I'm going to read it.
Read it for the listeners.
So Carey Price posted this today, quote, Over the last few years, I have let myself get to a very dark place, and I didn't have the tools to cope with that struggle. Last month, I made the decision to enter a residential treatment facility for substance use. Things had reached a point that I realized I needed to prioritize my health for both myself and for my family. Asking for help when you need it is what we encourage our kids to do, and it was what I needed to do. I am working through years of neglecting my own mental health, which will take some time to repair. All I can do is take it day by day. With that comes uncertainty with when I will return to play. I appreciate all of the overwhelming support and the well wishes. I please ask that the media and our hockey community continue to respect our privacy at this time. Your support and respect of this so far has been a critical piece of my recovery. Often social media is a bit of a cesspool, especially when it comes to sports and when it comes to like caring about humanity. But I feel like this has been a very overwhelmingly positive experience, and everybody has been Team Carey, and you know, everyone understood, everybody respects Carey Price and the decision that he made in going out and seeking treatment, seeking help. And which is clearly, you know, what he feels is necessary. And, so, I mean, you know, hockey Twitter deserves some kudos for kind of, you know, being respectful and being receptive of something like this, which isn't always necessarily the case on a place like twitter.com.
Yes. And then on the other side of the continent in Anaheim, usually focus on the Eastern Conference here, and this will really be the only Western Conference thing we talk about today. The Ducks have placed general manager Bob Murray on administrative leave for unprofessional conduct, it sounds like. And like Frank Saravelli had a report about mental warfare and verbal abuse, threatening people's jobs and whatnot. Doesn't look great for Murray, given that this kind of This wasn't out there anywhere. Like, this is not reactionary by the Ducks to some, you know, bombshell report by somebody. This is the Ducks kind of just coming out in front of everybody and saying, like, this seems to be happening, and we're just going to come out right out and say it, and we're going to put him on leave.
Well, I did see that Chris Johnson of TSN and of the Toronto Star, formerly of Sportsnet, but now with us at TSN, he came out and he was talking and saying that there was an internal investigation that was already made internally, and it came out that there was some kind of sketchy stuff going on in terms of him threatening people's job securities, and you know, him just the conduct in the way that he was going about his business was not right. And I guess last week, after the whole Blackhawks scandal kind of came to light, the NHL came out and said, hey, if there's any amount of conduct that isn't right that's going on in these organizations, let us know so we can deal with it, so that we can rid, you know, hockey culture of these types of people and these types of actions. So I wonder if this somewhat stems from, you know, the NHL saying, hey, let us know if there's issues here, because we want to rid this type of stuff away from the sport. And if that is, you know, something that has come of that.
And then finally on today's, so you get some heavy topics for like the news today, the Rick Westhead reporting that the NHL will not be covering counseling costs for John Doe number 2. Yeah. And that, I mean, that is, I'm not, it doesn't have to be Gary Bettman specifically that made that call, but very Bettman-like, like refusing, even when it would be doing the right thing, essentially not doing it because you'd be admitting wrongdoing.
Yeah, like I think there are some legal implications to this, and essentially, I believe they said that they'll kind of delegate that to the Blackhawks for them to do that. So there could be some legal implications as to why they were unable to do so. And as much as we want to say, like, you know, humanity, do what's best, like, there are some legal stuff that maybe doesn't allow that to quite happen. But I believe, or I hope at least, I have absolutely no insight on this, but I hope the Blackhawks do do what's right by John Doe number two and help get this guy the counseling that he needs. I mean, if we learned anything from Kyle Beach and him coming out, speaking out about how tough of a time he has had over the last 10 years, you know that this kid is having equally as tough a time. And, you know, in America, if I'm not mistaken, like, you guys got to pay for a lot of that stuff and a lot of money, right? Like, there's no coverage of any kind, but or that's supplemented by the government. Whereas here in Canada, it somewhat is supplemented.
Yeah, it's not at all. Like, it's expensive. Yeah. I don't know how much that would run up, but in like thousands, I'd just be guessing. Just complete speculation there, but like, yeah, a lot of money.
And if this is being placed onto the Blackhawks, like, realistically, they owe it to this kid. Like, they really truly do. And if this is just like, if it's thousands of dollars worth of therapy that he's seeking, that's a drop in the bucket for the family, like for the Blackhawks ownership.
Be like, the support system that you weren't 10 years ago.
Yes, exactly. 100%. And they need a little bit of, I mean, it's not a great way to put it, but like, they need a little bit of like good publicity, I guess. Like, just do the right thing for once. This is your chance to show that you've learned, I suppose, from the wrongdoings of your organization in the past. And, you know, you said you were going to be doing right by Kyle Beach and doing right by everybody else or anyone else who's in this scenario, and you know, do it. Here's your chance, right? Put your money where your mouth is.
Yep. All right. We are going to take a quick second to talk about Bet Online, and then when we come back, power rankings, who should rise and who should fall. But this podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag, your number one spot for all the hockey, basketball, and football action this season. Head over to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive their 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use your promo code LOCKEDON to receive the bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Speaking of betting, by the way, they don't have odds up on it live right now. But I wanted to throw this question by you because I was looking at the leaders in the NHL in terms of point totals and goals scored. Because the Sabres played the Capitals yesterday, I was doing some digging on Ovechkin and where he ranks in the league. He's third in the NHL in points scored with 21. That's one behind Connor McDavid. That's two behind Leon Draisaitl. It is five more, by the way, than anybody else. So right now it is Draisaitl, McDavid, and Ovechkin kind of all one at the top, one, two, three, then a gap. And then goals scored, he's number one in the league with 11. And he's always been the Rocket Richard guy, right? Like, he has never had the two-way game. The assist totals have never really been all that high. But I wonder, like, we're going to talk about the Capitals as a whole in a little bit, but I'm thinking about him for the heart a lot. Like, those Edmonton guys, they could – Draisaitl could steal votes away from McDavid and cause the whole third guy to get in there.
Yeah, the whole split the vote scenario, it could. I mean, the way that Ovechkin's playing right now is ridiculous. Like, the guy's literally playing at a goal per game pace.
He's playing 22 minutes a night. Like, maybe he won't hold up over 82 games at 36 years old playing that much. But, like, he even, like, against Arizona, he played 25 minutes. Against Buffalo, he played 24 minutes. 22 minutes all the other three games in between. Like, I'm not to say they're running him into the ground, but it feels like they don't have a lot of depth right now. They need him to play that much.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Anthony Mantha also got a shoulder injury, and I think he had surgery, so he's going to be out for a little bit too, which means that Ovechkin's workload's only going to get harder, right? So, I mean, this dude's a machine, like an absolute machine. Like, I don't think I've actually seen a player quite like Ovechkin in our era, right? Like, you and I growing up as you know, 90s kids, I don't think I've seen anybody who has been so consistently good year in, year out, who's so physical, who's so, you know, just thick and burrows over people and just takes control of games and is consistently like the best at what he does on a year-to-year basis. I don't think we've seen somebody like that in our era. And Alex Ovechkin, I mean, it'd be worth a sprinkle, man. It really would be worth a sprinkle. I think it's going to have to depend on how well that team does. They're not particularly winning a lot of games these days. Like, they're doing fine. They're going to be okay. But right now, I think they've lost four of the last six games. Yeah. So I think team success usually does play a hand here when it comes to the MVP in the NHL. But man, like, it's just crazy what he's doing. It's not just that he's doing this, but he's doing it at 36 years old, man.
Right.
Like, Jesus, this guy.
Wild. He has three Hart trophies, by the way, 2008, 2009, and 2013. So it's been 8 years since he won a Hart trophy.
He just passed
Brett Hull.
Brett Hull?
Fourth all time. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, this dude could end up in the top three by the end of the year.
Yeah, he really could. He's not going to – I mean, obviously, he's not going to shoot. Well, his shooting percentage is only at 18. I mean, that's still astronomically high even for him, but he'll slot in typically.
It's probably around there, 15-16%. He takes about, 300 shots a year. Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably a little
last year it was 13.2, the year before that 15.4, 15.1.
Yeah, so 15-16%.
So right. He's you're right though too to point out their injuries, because Backstrom out, Oshie out, Mantha out. Like, it's an entire top six line that's just been wiped out right now.
So he's the only one who is getting the puck, and he's just like, okay, I guess I got to do it myself.
Yeah. So let's talk about them for a second as a team. We love what Ovechkin's doing so far this year. He is showing up. He's playing great for them, and he's really lifting them to the record that they have right now. It's 6-2-4. They're number one in the league in loser points with four. They've lost
loser points.
They are loser points. So what do we think of the Capitals and our, as we kind of look at our power rankings, reach back into last week, project what's going to happen on Wednesday's rankings at the Lockdown NHL Podcast Network. The Capitals were fourth last week, and it feels hard for me to believe, even though like their record is still, it's okay. Fourth, man, is a high bar.
Yeah, I don't view this team as a top five team in the league right now. I just don't. I don't think I did coming into the year either. Like, they're fine, but like you take a look at their last few games, they haven't particularly been good. Like, they barely beat. I mean, realistically, look at all season long. Like, they lost to the Flames in overtime, and then they barely beat the Sens. That was a track meet, 7-5. They lost to the Wings in overtime. They just barely beat the Yotes 2-0. They lost to Tampa. They lost to Florida. They lost to Philly. And then they finally got off their losing streak last night in Sabres 5-3. But as you probably could allude to, they got outplayed in that game. Like, they straight up did. They got the 2 points, but they got outplayed. So, I mean, they're losers of four of their last six, and the only two wins they have are against Arizona and Buffalo. That's nothing to be too excited about. So I don't see them as a top five team. So if we're taking a look and we're kind of trying to project what we're going to see in tomorrow's Locked On NHL Power Rankings, I think that the Washington Capitals are a team that's probably going to be falling down the board.
I'd guess they're closer to 10. I don't think they'll fall out of the top 10 on Wednesday's rankings, but I would bet they're close to it. They're not going to be top five, I would bet. And yeah, like you said, like, they beat the Sabres because Dustin Tokarski was in net and let in a couple of softies. They were pretty much outplayed otherwise by the Sabres. They had a good first period. Second and third, they got run over. Talking about the Capitals. So the Capitals we have as a team that's going to fall. Who else? Is there another team that sticks out to you as a team you think is going to fall in our power rankings?
Yeah, I think probably, like, where do we – Pittsburgh was pretty high up there.
11th.
I believe. Yeah.
From 6th the week before. 2 weeks ago, they were 6th. Last week, they were 11th.
Well, because they got off to such a great start to the year, right? They were missing Malkin. Right. They're missing Crosby, Letang, and somehow they're just winning games. Like, they were just finding ways to win games. And I know specifically their AHL squad basically beat the Maple Leafs a few weeks back 7-2, but or 7-1, and it was an absolute embarrassment. But since that game, like, you take a look at how the Penguins have done since then, and the answer, Joe, is not good. Since then, they have lost a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4. They've lost 4 of the last 5, and currently they're tied. Looks like they're about to head to overtime, actually, as we record this.
Wow. They were down 2-0 in that game.
I know. They came back. They tied Chicago.
Right, Ooh. Chicago, though.
so they're on par with Chicago right now, the way that they're playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost 4 of the last 5 heading into tonight. This isn't a team that I see as a top 10 team. So, right now though, the biggest problem too is the fact that they're so injury riddled. I mean, you still have so many guys who are missing. You know, Crosby finally came back, and then, he ends up on the COVID list, and, you've got Malkin still out, and I think Letang is still out too. And Jari's not playing as well as he was earlier in the season. So, I can see the Penguins maybe falling a little bit here in our power rankings that they're going to come out tomorrow.
I believe, is Letang still out for them? I think Letang is back. He might have just got back. But yeah, I mean, Malkin and Crosby, Patterson, Dumoulin, Chad Ruedel, they've got a lot of injuries right now. And they're winning by committee. They've got 7 guys that have 3 or more goals scored. And is that going to hold up if Crosby and Malkin can't get back? I think Crosby's going to come back, obviously, from the COVID list.
Look at the name Evan Rodriguez. Do you believe that Evan Rodriguez is going to keep going at the pace that he is?
Nope. Absolutely not. What about Drew O'Connor, though? They have these guys that they definitely brought up from Wilkes-Barre Scranton that nobody's ever heard of, and they just come in and score 18 goals every year.
Joe.
Danton Heinen,
they defeated the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 7-1 a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Drew O'Connor had 2 goals. Evan Rodriguez had 2 goals. These guys looked like Geno and Sid out there in that game. It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But since then, the Penguins have fallen back to form, and they've also been a pretty bad team. Pretty bad, I would say. So, yeah, I think that Pittsburgh, for as long as they're still going to be missing Sid and Gino, they're probably not going to be hanging around the top with the big boys.
Yep. Sabres are going to drop in the power rankings, too. They were 14th last week.
That was just too high. Why were they way too high? 14th? I understand that they were winning games and maybe they're playing well. But at some point, you still have to look yourself in the mirror and say, is this a top half team in the NHL?
I agree. I think there would have been higher than where they started the season, but 14th, that's a playoff team. And there's no way they're making the playoffs. We've talked plenty about them, though. They've lost 5 in a row. That's coming back down to earth very quickly here. All right, so we'll get to the risers, the teams we think are going to rise in the power rankings in just a second. But I wanted to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contracts. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, we went through the teams we think are going to fall in the Locked On NHL power rankings. They're going to be released on Wednesday afternoon. How about the teams that we think are going to rise? Columbus has won 3 in a row. They're at 20 already, though. I feel like they can't go much higher than that, right?
They might be able to pick up a couple of spots. Merzlikins has been unbelievable. He's been the backbone of that team. And, so he's been great. Werenski obviously as well. So I think Columbus has a chance to maybe creep up a couple of spots here. So they might be able to, I don't know. Your 20 is a decent number for them, I guess. Do I think Columbus is a playoff team? No. So I guess I wouldn't put them in top 16, but maybe 18th, 19th, perhaps.
Yeah. How about the Red Wings? This was to me where I thought them and the Sabres were neck and neck. I think when I did the power rankings last week, I had them back to back. One of those teams I thought they're going to crash down to earth. The other one might hang around for a little bit. I'm not going to pick either and make the playoffs, obviously. But Detroit, they're out here. They keep winning. They're looking good. Alex Nedeljkovic is playing pretty well from them in net. They've won three in a row. Tyler Bertuzzi, I was at the game that they played against Buffalo the other night. Tyler Bertuzzi is just like, he's creating so many opportunities for that team. He's scoring goals himself. He looks like a legitimate top line winger right now. I'm liking Detroit. They're second in the conference. I would not pick them to finish top three or even top four by season's end, but they're sitting down there at 21, and I would like to see them get up into the teens.
Yeah, second in the Atlantic right now, but that in right. terms of points, they played 14 games, so points percentage-wise, they would sit in fifth, actually. In terms of points percentage, which is interesting that, Boston's only played 10 games. That's actually wild to me. I've loved what Detroit has been able to do so far this year. They've certainly been one of the surprisers early on this season. And like, they just beat Edmonton, who's been one of the best teams in the NHL. Like, they've just beat the Edmonton Oilers. They've got a couple of kids over there, though, like, that are just putting on a show. Lucas Raymond, this rookie that they have over there, he's got 14 points, man. Like, he's averaging a point per game, and the other rookie is second in scoring in the league. Mo Sider, defenseman. What? He's got 11 points so far this season, Joe. A rookie defenseman who's 20 years old. He's got 11 points. Like, this kid is unbelievable. So they've got these young kids who really are up and comers in the league. They're going to be stars. And they're just doing it early. Like, they're just kind of like what the Maple Leafs did, years ago back in 16-17 in Austin Matthews' rookie season. It was also Mitch Marner's rookie season, and those guys just kind of hit the ground floor running right away and took this team to the playoffs. I don't know if I look at Detroit as a playoff team, but I certainly see them as a team that could be on the rise here and definitely a lot better than we all anticipated them being coming into the season. And it's mainly on the backs of these kids. But like you said, you also have Tyler Bertuzzi playing outstanding hockey right now. Dylan Larkin's playing really well too. Like, they've got some pieces that they're building for a pretty good future there in Detroit. Stevie Y doing it again, man, doing it again.
He is. So far, so good. Raymond and Sider, 24 points in 26 games combined so far this year. And Sider, remember, is a defenseman, 19 and 20 years old. Like, they, those two have been unbelievable.
Sider got another point tonight, so I think they're up to 25 between the two of them.
Okay, 25. Right, Hockey Reference, probably update that tomorrow.
Yeah.
The team I think will maybe rise the most, though, and this is in part due to them being so low last week. The Leafs were at 19. So the loss to the Kings breaks a five-game win streak. They beat the Bruins. They beat the Lightning. They beat the Golden Knights. They beat the Red Wings, and they beat Chicago too. But so there's some good teams in there that they defeated. And they're number one now in the league in high danger scoring chances for. They're allowing a lot too. So they're playing very high event hockey. You can obviously speak to how they've looked more than I can, but 19 was so low for them off the bat, and I think they've been plenty good enough to where, like, I think they'll see the biggest jump of any of the teams on our power rankings. I think they're going to have the biggest jump this week.
I think so too. Like, I agree with that assessment. Like, I would not be shocked if they jump into the top 12, maybe even as high as the top 10. Yeah. I could see that. I think it's kind of the opposite of what we saw with Buffalo, where, you know, Buffalo was so good out of the gate that some of our hosts were just kind of overvaluing them, kind of as like, they're hot this week. They're one of the better teams. And it was kind of the vice versa for the Maple Leafs, where it was like, this team is playing so garbage right now. They just lost 7-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sorry, the Wilkes-Barre Penguins. There's no way that we can call this team, like a top 15 team. This isn't a playoff team the way that they're performing, and they weren't. But again, if you take a look at the actual squad, there's no way that they're not a top 12 team in the league. Like, they just are. They just have enough, a lot of talent. You know, their big boys are finally scoring. You know, the only thing with this team is like I said, they're playing very high event hockey, which means they're getting a lot of opportunities offensively. Their big boys are getting it done. But defensively, their defensive coverage has not been as stellar as it was a season ago which is just crazy to me because it's the they return the exact same top four, yet it has been very, very poor early on this year. So, you know, the five-game winning streak, though, we saw that the team take steps in the right direction. We saw them get better game by game. And then, yeah, yesterday's game against the Kings kind of set them back a little bit. But hopefully that was just a blip. They got another one against Philadelphia, which is another team who I think is playing some real solid hockey right now. So that's going to be a good matchup if they can go in there and pick up two more points. I think that you can look back at that Kings game and just say that was just an off night. That's all it was. And that this team truly are playoff competitors and playoff contenders. And based on the way that they played against Tampa and Boston, I mean, you might even now be able to call them potential Stanley Cup contenders again.
They're getting saves too. I don't know if Jack Campbell's been as good as his numbers are, but he's save percentage wise, one of the best in the league.
He's been unreal. Jack Campbell has been unreal. Like, he's probably stolen three games for this team. Just not that he's stolen them, but like, well, he has, but like, he's keeping them in games long enough for the offense to finally click. Like the game against Tampa, they got outplayed for most of the game, but he just was outstanding the third period. It probably could have been 4-5-0 in the third, but instead he only allowed that one goal earlier in the game, and then he just locked it down. And then Toronto pulls the goalie, they score at the man advantage, sent it to overtime, and then they end up winning it in overtime and got the full 2 points. And that was purely because of Jack Campbell. So he's been outstanding. The problem is Peter Mrazek's hurt now. So the question in Toronto is whether or not Jack Campbell can be durable enough to handle the load that's going to be asked of him over the next little bit, because he could be out for a month with a groin injury. So, he's never had a workload like this. He's only played a maximum of 31 games in an NHL season. And this year he's going to far surpass that, and came into the season thinking that it was going to be somewhat of a tandem, a 60-40 split at the very worst. And now it seems like he's going to have to run with it and be a bit of a workhorse here, for the next little bit. And we'll see if he can respond to that and play just as consistently as he has over the last little bit.
We got a roll here, but I'm interested that I just looked up Campbell to see where he ranks in the league with a .929 save percentage, and he's eighth. I'm like, really? Is that good? He's down at eighth?
I know exactly where you're going.
Because no, I'm actually – do you think I'm bringing up Freddie Anderson here?
No, the guy at the very tippy top.
Well, now it's Bobrovsky. Dude, who did you think it was? James Reimer is number two.
Save percentage.
Save percentage is what I'm looking at. Why? Where did you think I was headed there?
James Reimer's number. Actually, Martin Jones looks to be number one right now.
I might have a certain minimum set. It's maybe the difference there for games played. I don't know. Or minutes.
Should be third. But anyways, James Reimer right now has a 946 save percentage and a league-leading 160 goals against.
So the thing I'm looking at, though, like just at how many goalies, there are 20 goaltenders above a .920 save percentage. And I believe if I'm doing this right, I'm looking at it right now, just trying to get it. Yeah, .923 is the average save percentage in the league this year. Last year, .913. Like, it's gone up a full percentage point. Like, I just saw this now, and I don't really have a good explanation for it. It could just be a fluke. It's a small sample size, I guess.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
Up until last night, Campbell was a sub two goals against goalie at a 186. After last night, gave up four. He's up to a 209. But there's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 goalies right now at a sub two goals against per game. Like that's incredible. And it's funny because I don't know if you recall, but they were trying to have a crackdown on like slashing and cross-checking in front of the net. Like a lot of the net front battles, they're going to have a crackdown on it, which A, would lead to more power plays and more penalties, which means that should have an uptick in goals, but also just eventually these guys who were getting all these cross-checks and slashing calls were going to stop doing it, which should have allowed a lot more, guys to battle in front of the net and score some gritty, greasy goals. But I don't know if that's really been the case as much as they thought that would happen. It seems like goal scoring might be down based on these goalie statistics. I guess we could probably figure that out. But, you know, goalies right now, they seem to have the upper hand. Jacob Markstrom's got 4 shutouts so far this year.
Bad. Wow. Jesus. Markstrom's got 4 shutouts.
Might want to sprinkle a little Vezna on Jacob Markstrom. Wow.
Ilya Sorokin's even got 3.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Wow. A lot of good goaltending. All right. That's going to do it for us here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Check us out on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Mike's at Mickey_Canuck. And if you're listening to the podcast, a reminder, you can now watch us on YouTube at the Locked On NHL YouTube channel. That we'll talk to you next. Me and Mike will next Tuesday. And me and Rachel Donner will talk to you on the podcast here on Friday. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your number one listen. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.